Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we discuss city business. As always, Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming over.
Thanks, Chuck. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to start the show with a major announcement on a development that you've been working on, an effort that you've been working on for the past 3 years.
Yes, you asked me dutifully every month about the police and fire station. And I told you that when we had a deal in place, I would come in, and I'm proud to say, and exciting to say, we have a deal in principle that will be finalized this week in writing. But I can announce that we will be obtaining approximately 6.5 to 7 acres of land from the state of Kentucky Department of Transportation that is located on U.S. 60 along the flood wall. From the car wash, which is the Sunshine World Car Wash, down through the KU substation, all the way down to where it comes to a point down by the Pennzoil. And that's something we've been working on, again, for 3 years. And we've had an opportunity to you know, work with different people on that. And we actually went to Frankfort yesterday and made the official ask and worked out a deal where this has a long history. We didn't realize it when we got into it. I told you there's always something. Every time we turned over a rock, something else came out. And what ended up happening was back in 1990, 28 years ago, there was an agreement in place between the city of Moorhead and the transportation department when they were getting ready to build that bypass. And the agreement was the city asked the state to go ahead and purchase that land. And so they did. They purchased that land for the city to be able to use that as green space. And at the time, the city was undergoing the streetscape project on Main Street with the Serpentine Street and doing the beautification and all that. So when they got to the end, they did not have enough funds to finish that and to recoup the money that was owed to the state for purchasing the properties. So we weren't aware of that agreement until about a month, from about 3 weeks ago. So after spending about $13,000-$14,000 on plat work and on two surveys, and also having to purchase a small piece of property in order to make us the clear and adjacent owner for this whole thing, we were able to work out a deal with them to where the money that they were needed to be made whole, we deducted what we've paid on it, and we are going to be able to pay the difference, somewhere around $94,000.
So that's the total cost of the land?
That's the total cost
of the
land.
That's an excellent price, considering I know that you were thinking that it could be well over 100 somewhere.
When we first, 3 years ago, when council gave me the authority to go look for land and go look for a place to build it, we built in a budget, estimated budget of $4 million. Of that budget, we allowed it up to $500,000 for a piece of land. We were looking for about 2 acres, and we've looked everywhere, as you well know. It's been well documented and discussed on this show. And when we came across this piece of property, the actual agreement back in 1990 was for roughly $107,000 is what they purchased that land for, the state did, for Moorhead. And they were never paid back. So what we ended up doing was, based on the legal opinion of the attorney for the cabinet, based on our city's attorney legal opinion, we were able to work it out and say, look, we spent $13,000, $2,000 in obtaining the little piece of property we had to obtain, and $11,000 on plat work that actually made them more whole than they were because they didn't have it platted out. And so our surveys that we did, actually did two of them, made the lines a lot more distinguishable. And it would actually made them in a better position than they were to begin with as far as for their record keeping. So they were happy with that. We went in and deducted that from the 107. So we'll be paying somewhere around $94,000. That we will be closing that deal as far as the agreement with, you know, there's always some paperwork you have to do, and we hope to have that closed by the end of this week or the first of next. But we had a handshake agreement between the mayor and the person with the cabinet, so everybody feels like we're we're in good shape.
Why do you feel like, of all the sites that you've looked at, I know the price is obviously good, but why do you feel like this site will work?
Because of the accessibility, how close it is to town, how close it is to US 60. The same reason they wanted to put the jail up on where they put it, because of your accessibility to US 60. Not only are we in a better position there, obviously the jail couldn't go at this plot or this piece of property because it's not big enough for the jail, but for us, you look at the access we have to US 60 east and west, and then right across the street, boom, you come right into Main Street off of by the conference center there, off of South Wilson, or not South Wilson, but over in between. Well, there's two different ways you can go. You can go up Batson Oaks. You can go several different ways. So it really gives us a multiple areas that we can, you know, take our fire trucks, and we're also going to have police in this building. We're going to have 911. It's going to be our 911 center. About a 25,000 square foot building we're going to try to put there. And it is partially in the floodplain, but most of where we're building is out of the floodplain. And the key is, if it's in the floodplain, you can build out of the floodplain. If it's in the floodway, you can only put parking. None of this property is in the floodway. And so that's a huge, huge get. Roughly 7 acres, about 3.7 of it is out of the floodplain. About 3 point whatever the difference is in the floodplain, but it's where you can build up. So Rodney Fouch was key to this. He's our floodplain administrator, and we took him with us, and we've looked at this every single angle you can possibly look at, and our surveyor, the state, and our local engineer, which is Bart Bryant, who's worked with us very closely on this, they all really think it's going to be an excellent spot for that. So we're very, very, very excited. Our next step is, once we get the paperwork finished, we're going to go ahead and issue an RFP to try to get a building, some designs for the building. And we hope to put shovels in the ground this fall and have a groundbreaking.
Because you've saved so much money on the land, you've gotten a very good price, obviously. How much do you anticipate spending on the new police and fire station itself?
Well, like we always try to do with our carryover and things like that, you know, just because we'll have roughly $3.9 million left, we don't want to spend $3.9 million. Our budget is $3.5 for the building, and we'll have some excess there in case there's some, you never know about overruns, you never know about the cost of materials now with some of the things that are going on internationally. There could potentially be a rise in cost of materials. So we're still going to try to get what we want for 3.5, but it does give us some cushion, not to, you know, go in and splurge, but we got the cushion there to make sure we cover our original plans.
Because you and other officials have been working on this effort for a few years now, is it a relief to finally get this thing actually moving forward on track?
Last night when I announced it at a council meeting, the second thing I said was praise the Lord, because it has been a battle, and we see the need. No one can argue that we don't need this, and it's something that when I ran for office, it was top of my list: recreation, police and fire, economic development, those type of things. And it's something that's been very important to me for that, but it's even more important to our community. And again, I have to go back to the whole premise of, you know, people, when they pay their taxes and they have a fire or God forbid have to have some police come to their house, a major incident, or they have to use 911 for an emergency, they expect first class service. Well, if they expect first class service, the least we can do is give our officers, who are excellent, our firefighters, who are excellent, our 911 folks, who are excellent, our dispatchers, to give them first class place to operate, cars, vehicles, and equipment. And that's what we've been trying to do the last 4 years. There's been a lot of deferred maintenance prior to my administration, and we've had to try to make that up. And this is just another thing. Now, this is something that was wanted in the prior administration, too. So this is something that they have been wanting for a while. So, I think a lot of people, once they see the plans that we're going to come out of this, and they'll see where it's at, and I really believe it's going to be it could be a another jewel for our community, because I'll put our law enforcement, fire, and 911 services up against anybody, and this is just going to make them, keep them up where we need to be.
What becomes of the old police and fire stations, actually the current police and fire stations? Do you sell those properties?
Probably. We've not had that final discussion, but that's another thing. you know, if we're able to go in and being patient and waiting and finding the right situation and making sure it's the right thing, not only for, again, trying to get for our taxpayers out there the most bang for your buck. We really, really, really do. It's not lip service, trust me. We take very serious when we spend taxpayers' money. We don't blow it. We try to make sure we get the most bang for our buck, and this right here is really another example of that. So along with saving up to $400,000 from our property budget, we hope to recoup, if we decide to sell those two buildings, we think we can recoup upwards of at least that much for both of them. We don't know. We'll have to have them appraised, obviously, and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, you know, right now, probably that's one option to sell them. And, again, that'll be probably a 2-year process before this is all finished, but at least now we have the starting gun has went off, and now we can start fighting towards the finish line.
On another construction project, where do things stand with the building of the splash pad?
We had a great meeting last week with our architectural firm that's actually acting as our managers on this, and that is CMW. And right now we are looking to start, hopefully begin construction sometime in early July. And we were really fighting for an August 1 opening. That's probably going to be pushed back a little bit just because we've had to do some soil sampling and we're going to have to make some adjustments to the property. We went in and did some core samples and stuff that we needed to do, and that came back, and we're going to have to do some adjustments. Nothing major, but it's going to cost us a few weeks. So right now we've kind of pushed back the expectation for opening somewhere between mid-August and Labor Day is when it'll open. Now, I've had people come to me and say, well, why are you going to open up? You know, school's back in. It doesn't matter. We've been waiting for a water feature. This is not a pool where you have to close it Labor Day. This is a splash pad that can stay open, you know, a little bit longer. That's one of the things we wanted to do. We think, and again, we're spending this money. Let's get the best value for it and the most efficient use. Well, you can start a little earlier and you can close a little later. So to me, the community's been waiting on this. If we open up just for a week, you got to open up for a week, don't you? You don't let it sit there. So our plan is, you know, hopefully we can be ready to go by Labor Day. And I've put a target date for opening the Friday of Labor Day, and that'd be an awesome way to kind of, you know, kick off that. So weather is a big factor. You know, the good thing about it is, though, we're not digging a pool, so we have a little bit more flexibility. And right now we're really proud of what that's going to be, and we can't wait. We're going to actually do something in the public here very soon and be able to have a forum, let people come and look and see what we're doing, and we can kind of show them what the plans are. And because we're also working on, as a parallel to this, the master plan for that property. And we've got some other things we're going to do, too, and show them. So we're excited. A lot of exciting things happening, and it's just taken a huge team effort, and it's taken a lot of patience, and we ask the public for just a little bit more patience, and these things you'll start seeing them come out of the ground.
And I'm sure that you've heard people say, well, a splash pad is nice, but we'd still like to see an outdoor public pool.
Chuck, that's the first time I've heard that. I can't
believe you. Since you got up this morning, maybe?
First time I heard it since I sat down in this chair, yes. No, we have people who are very passionate. And when do people want to talk about pools? In June, in July, in August. You don't hear them a lot about pools in January. So people are out going about, and we understand that. Again, the best way to explain this is, when I took over, you have a bonding capacity that you're allowed to spend, or that you're traditionally what you want to spend. Mayor Perkins was an excellent fiscal responsible mayor, and he had it set up and the way it's ran, and that's what I've tried to copy as far as the procedures. And one of the procedures is, if you have a $10 million bonding capacity, you don't bond $10 million. You bond about 75% of that so that in case of emergencies, major disasters, you don't spend everything you've got. It's all about budgeting. And your wife, of course, Joni, was in there when I started. She was worked with him. I've had Chrissy. We've had good people in there to help us keep that. So let's say 2 years ago, we realized we were roughly about $10 million we could bond. All right. So we said, okay, our goal then is to bond no more than 7.5. So as of right now, for $7 million, we have bonded enough debt service for a $4 million police and fire station, including the property. We know we're getting that cheaper now, so we're going to save a little money there. When it's all said and done, because we've had some things come down from Frankfurt, we're going to have to do a full bathroom and some things like that we didn't anticipate for the for the splash pad. There's going to be some additional costs there. So that's probably going to be, before it's all over, about $750,000. So that's $750,000. And we just bought a fire truck, $1.2 million. And when you start adding that up, that's getting very close to $7 million, okay? So when you get there, do we go build a pool like they have in Frankfurt? Wonderful splash area, you know, slides. It's great. That costs $7 million. Do we spend all of our safe bonding capacity on one item, or do we do police and fire, splash pad, fire truck, buying property, $1 million? We bought property. What's getting the more bang for the buck, and what's going to be really doing the best service for your community?
But you're not saying never say never.
We're not saying never say never, but right now we're trying to stay within our means, and we're trying to get the most out of what we can within our means. Someone had put a very funny social media post and said, "Build like the old Field of Dreams, build it and they will come." And my response is, yes, if you build a $7 million splash area, they will come and they will repossess if you can't pay for it. So, you know, it's all about wants, needs, and what can you pay for. I ask people all the time, you know, how come you don't have a Mercedes S-Class? Oh, well, I can't afford it. Okay, that's why we don't have a pool. So let's find the best option out there that we can, that we can stay within our means, but also will serve a need. What we've also done, it's not been a public, if folks are going to go to our day camp, we've worked out a deal with MSU. We're allowing our kids who go to day camp to go to MSU and swim once a week if they want. That's unprecedented. That's never happened before. So we're trying to do other things that's not going to break the bank, but still add to what we're trying to do. Now, people are complaining over this. Some people are complaining over this splash pad. They'll never be happy. When that splash pad is open, who do you think is going to be there with their kids running through it? They'll be there. So it's very important for us to get that sucker open if it's only open for a week because of that. So, I mean, it's one of those things you hear, you know, being part of this job, being in the media, criticism is part of the job. What you try to do to respond to criticism is try to respond with facts, and you try to respond and say, we understand, we hear you, but this is what we can do and this is what we can't do. It comes down to that, because you don't want to be another county, a large county, and one of the largest counties in the state, and overextend yourself, and all of a sudden you're reduced to junk bond status, and now they can't even get bonds. Now they've been removed from being allowed to get them on one of the largest counties in the state. Is that where we want to be, or do we want to stay within our means and do what we can?
Mayor Jim Tom Trent of Moorhead with us on Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz, your host. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. Mayor Jim Tom Trent of Moorhead with us. I'm Chuck Meraz. And Mayor, as we continue, you finished up all your budgetary issues looking ahead to the next fiscal year. You got your spending plan passed.
Got our spending plan passed. We're very, very pleased with that. You know, we're rough, a little over $13 million, not quite $14 million total. You know, as Joni, your wife, when she was on there, we when I came in, she was there the first part, and then we've had Chrissy. And what we've always tried to do in my administration, going back to what was done with other administrations, is we take three of our council members and we rotate them each year, and they take turns. And myself, Joyce, our city attorney, and Chrissy, or whoever the city clerk was at the time, and we sit down and we have a process. We meet about five or six times before we present the budget to council. Now, the budget technically is called the mayor's budget. It's my budget, they say. Well, we know that's, you know, that it's the city's budget, but I'm overseeing it. So what I try to do, like I do all other decisions, it's a team effort. We make sure everybody looks at it at every angle we can, and that's what we do. And so it starts off by we have a wants and a needs list, and that's every department. We have five departments. We bring in every department head. What's your needs? Check, 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 check. Do we have the money for your needs? Yes. Okay, now what's your wants? And then we check, and then we come back in and revisit it again, and we go by the numbers that we anticipate that we're going to bring in as far as, you know, the money we're going to bring in as opposed to what we're going to have to pay out. It's simple budgeting. It's just with $13 million, there's nothing simple about it, but it really is. Are you going to take in more than what you're going to try to spend? So this year, we're very fortunate because of carryovers and because of taking care of what we've had out there as far as debt service, paying some things off, paying some things way down, which helps our rating. Most of what the department heads brought us, I don't think we were able to knock off very many things. So we're about full capacity on all the equipment we need for public works. We're full capacity on all of our police vehicles because we went to a leasing agreement with Enterprise. It's really been a cost saver the first year we did that. We don't have to go and spend $100,000 each year on vehicles. Now we can lease them with a program we have with them. So every 5 years we can rotate into new and fresh ones. So far that's working out very well. Our equipment for our police and fire is going very well. Recreation, you know, you hear about the projects, but we also have turned our middle field into a Little League only field, and we've got a lot of compliments on that. We hope to host things in the future, bring in recreational tourism. So all the things we've needed, we've covered, and almost all the things that people wanted, and our department heads are very good. They go and they search out our police and fire. I'll put them up against anybody. They will search out every grant there is, every foundation, every in-kind, every type of thing they can. They're very, very creative. So, you know, they are pretty much, they take care of a lot of their own because they also have the forfeiture money they're allowed to spend on certain things with our drug forfeiture money. So, you know, overall, we feel very comfortable. And still, we really are very conservative in what we think we're going to bring in. And even that, each year, the last 3 years that we've had audits, we estimated and we were like 1.3, 2.5, and almost 3 million this last time. So that's, in other words, of what we're bringing in total. And we've always underestimated on purpose about $500,000 just to make sure.
How about revenue, right?
Revenue, yeah. And because you want to, you know, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And there again, every one of our department heads by the end of the year, which it is now, we're obviously in the last month of the last quarter. We tell everybody, and we look, and almost all of our department heads, with the exception of a couple that's had big projects, most of them are 10 to 15% under budget. And that's how we're able to do it. It's not me. It's not council. It's everybody. Everybody, when they go and we send a public works person to go buy a battery or go buy this or someone to buy that, they don't just go in and just, you know, spend all the money they know they have that day. They go in and we do it in a manner that is taking care of taxpayers' money. And because of that, and because we're doing a team effort, we're able to have these good years, good audits, good carryovers. It puts us in a great financial position. We had a guy last night, R.J. Palmer, former senator out of Winchester. He works for a company that comes in and helps cities rate. He said, right now, if we were rated, we'd be an A-plus rating. An A1 rating. That's excellent.
That's your credit rating.
Our credit rating. That's excellent for us, for a small town, you know, for a small town. Going back to what we talked about the previous segment, a large community has all kinds of assets, and they can't even get rated now. And so, you know, again, that is because we have a mindset, we have a team effort, and everybody knows what we're trying to do. So, we're very excited about it, and we think that even though we're losing some major construction occupational tax dollars, that'll be completion, still what those will bring in filling those rooms with people, the occupational taxes alone and the people coming to town that'll be spending money to come and visit ADUC, the new ADUC, coming to visit the new medical pavilion, hopefully not visiting too much the jail as overnight stays. But we got a lot of people coming in. We think all this works together.
Mayor, as always, appreciate your time on the program. Congratulations once again on securing your land for your new police and fire station.
Yes, sir. You'll be there with a shovel and a helmet. I promise you that.
All right. Thanks. Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.